Reading from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 and verse 11 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
I'm reading from Hebrews 2, verse 14 to 18. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery in their fear of death. For surely it is not the angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every single way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest to service God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
Well done, great reading. Guys, we are nearly there. It's nearly time for mince pies and mulled wine. You've almost made it. But first, can we just give a warm welcome to the vicar, Henry Kendall. Henry's going to speak to us this evening. I'm just going to pray for him before he does that. Father God, thank you that you're here with us. I pray that you would speak to us now through Henry. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Luke, and thanks to the choir. How are your voices keeping going? I mean, I'm on my second carol service as well, and you guys have to sing it properly. So at the last service, I didn't have this useful light, so I didn't have my notes. So this is like a whole new sermon I can actually see. Mother Teresa said, "The greatest disease in the West today is not TB or leprosy. It is being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for." Astonishing to think, actually, that Mother Teresa died over 20 years ago now. But the pandemic of loneliness has only grown worse since her death. My son was walking across a road bridge in Seoul, in South Korea, late at night. Now, the Han River in Seoul is a big river, and some of the bridges across it are nearly a mile long. And Ollie and his friend were walking across late at night, and they just got to the middle. And there was a guy there who didn't look that great. So they went up to him and said, "You know, are you okay?" And he said yes, so they went on. But a little way on from there, they ducked into a shelter and prayed for this guy in a place where he couldn't see them, but they could see him. And out of the corner of their eye, they saw him jump from the bridge. And then they heard the crash of his body hitting the water. They immediately phoned the emergency services, and initially they couldn't see the guy in the water he was under. And then he bobbed up, amazingly still alive. The police boat got there a few minutes later, just at the point where he was drowning, he was going under again, and they managed just in time to drag him out of the water alive. If Ollie and his friend hadn't been on that bridge that night, he would most certainly have died. Another tragic statistic. Another heartbroken family. The reasons why people go to the extreme of taking their lives are many and complex. But a factor in that is alienation, is a feeling so alone, feeling that you don't belong. And I think that for many people, that loneliness becomes particularly acute at Christmas. Because some of us, perhaps even tomorrow morning, will head off to visit our families. Now, for some of us, our families are a mixed blessing, and I don't know what your family is like, and these people that you have to spend time with, and you don't spend the rest of the year with them, and you feel slightly awkward, and contrived conversations go on. But if your family is like that, you're probably one of the lucky ones, because actually there are many others who don't have a family to go to. And perhaps they feel like they're looking through the window onto everyone else's happiness. And now we have a new expression. Digital alienation. Have you heard of that? Digital alienation, where people live their lives on social media but rarely interact with anyone face-to-face. And I believe it gives rise to the heart cry, where do I belong? The moment we're born, the process of alienation begins. The fragmentation of our society has rapidly accelerated those feelings, leaving many people with a longing of somewhere to belong, somewhere to connect with others, physical connection, a family. Now, why am I reflecting on this at this time of year, Christmas? Well, because the message of Christmas is about physical connection. Christmas is about flesh. And I don't mean turkey. We have a theological term to describe what happens at Christmas. And it's the word incarnation. It comes from the Latin carn or caro, from which we get carnivore or cannibal. Incarnation, incarnate, embodied, made flesh. Jesus was born flesh. Hebrews 2:14, which was read for us, says, since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus, too, shared in their humanity. He was flesh and blood. He was a baby in his mother's arms, feeding off his mother's breast, loved, hugged, touched. And later, as an adult, it turns out that Jesus was a really tactile person. He loved embracing people, touching people, holding children in his arms. He was flesh and blood. He was God in skin. Now, your skin is amazing. Your skin represents 15% of your body weight. The average of us have 21 square foot of skin. Our skin has more than 11 miles of blood vessels in it. We have hundreds of millions of skin cells, and our skin renews itself every 28 days. Your skin is constantly shedding dead cells at about the rate of 30 to 40,000 a minute, which is why we have to vacuum the church after the carol service. Your skin is home to more than 1,000 species of bacteria. Some of the nerves in your skin are connected directly to the muscles, not even to the brain, so that the signals can be super quick to react to heat and pain. Your skin has at least 5 different types of receptors that respond to pain and touch. Your skin is amazing. You see, we're designed for touch. We're designed to feel, to sense. We are sensual beings. Jesus came in flesh and blood. He was flesh, God in skin. In John 1, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. One of the biggest stories of the year is the epidemic of knife crime in London. Just this last week in Barnet, there was a man fatally stabbed. 3 months ago, our own curate, Adrian, held a young man in his arms as he died from a knife attack. This is no longer an issue that happens to other people, that we can somehow pretend that is nothing to do with us. Because this is happening all around us. This is happening to our young people. This is us. And that's why we've nominated Red Thread as one of our charities to support, because they're working with young people who are victims of knife crime in London. And of course, a lot of knife violence is gang-related. Why are we having this terrible craze of knife violence destroying the lives of our young people? There was a film released last month called Blue Story, and the film director, Ratman, he said, describing the film, I ain't trying to justify, but I must show what these young guys are fighting for. Now, of course, this is nothing new. Shakespeare depicted gang violence and murder in Romeo and Juliet. And now Ratman has his own depiction. But the question's good, isn't it? What are our young people fighting for? And I believe they are fighting for a place to belong, for a stake in society, for connection, for recognition, for meaning. We all want a family, a tribe, a group, a gang. So desperate is the desire for human connection, and so devastating the experience of alienation, that some of us will pay almost any price to feel close to someone, to know connection and touch, to belong. The Bible says in our Hebrews reading that it was for this reason that Jesus had to be made like us, fully human in every way. God made flesh and blood, God in skin, so that he could relate to us, so that he could be with us, so that he could connect with us. Jane and I are grandparents, and it has been a wonderful privilege to be involved in the life of our granddaughter. One of the things that I've noticed being around a small child again, and it is a quarter of a century since we had that experience in our own family, one of the things I've noticed is how they connect with you. Our granddaughter doesn't hold back. You know, she is not polite. She just flings herself into your arms. She is unabashed in wanting hugs and kisses. And through the years, we lose that, don't we? We lose that. We lose that connectedness. The bumps and scrapes of life cause us to put up a protective layer around us, like a new invisible skin shielding the real me that's hidden inside somewhere. And the process of alienation gradually removes us from others, and we become remote. That's not how it's meant to be. God wants us back in his family. Our Hebrews 2 reading said, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. God in flesh and blood, God in skin, in order to connect with us as his family. God never intended us to be lonely. Right at the beginning of the Bible, when we have the account of God creating man, God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. And Jesus came to put a human face on God. When Mary gave birth, Joseph, the baby's adoptive father, named him Jesus. But at that time, there was another name that was given to him that we don't use so much. And that name was Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. God in human skin. God as flesh and blood. God who is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. I don't know where your heart is this evening. Perhaps all is well. Maybe you're happy and fulfilled. In which case, God bless you. You have so much to give to a hurting world. But there will be others amongst us here who are lonely, who are disheartened, who are dejected or worse, who are looking down at the inky black swirling waters of despair. For you, you don't need to be lonely this Christmas, because Jesus came for you. Jesus came that you could have a place to belong, a family to be part of, his family. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for loving us so much that you became a human being just like us, flesh and blood, God in skin, so that you could feel, you could touch, you could identify, you could empathize, you could be with us. And Lord, I ask now that you would be with us tonight, each and every one of us. The lonely and the bereft, I pray that you would come and be with them especially tonight. Amen.